Alrighty, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. So it's conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.835 MHz. As everybody knows, the 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club, and it's located in Pearl River, New York, serving northern New Jersey, the lower Hudson Valley, and of course, the southeastern, southwestern part of Connecticut. All stations are welcome to participate in this net. This net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, the natural sciences, the art of operating in our wonderful hobby, and of course, an opportunity to for sale, swap, or wanted items. Are there any stations who are mobile? I'll try that first tonight. Alrighty, nothing heard in that regard. That's a good thing. Alright, so let's try this. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item. Some combination of those things are none of the above.
W82ISC, Bob, and no comments. Over.
Alrighty. Good evening, Robert. Any other whiskeys?
NJ2BS, repeat.
Alrighty, let's move along. How about those Novembers? Okay, we'll go one more. How about the kilos? Actually, we'll go two more. How about the kilos? And how about any alphas?
W2TTT, this is Alpha Lima Zero Yankee, Ali from Wayne. And apologies that I missed the ArishNet, and I have one query about obtaining a repeater list.
Sure, we'll get to your question in a minute, Ali. Welcome aboard. Hey, you're doing better than I am on Monday night, so don't sweat the small stuff, brother. And welcome, welcome. Whoops, I'm going to watch the power drop out here, so be careful. But yeah, welcome, welcome. Not a problem. Alrighty, any other stations, any call sign before we go to Echolink? Okay, anybody on Echolink? Alrighty, well, those crickets sound just amazing. Alrighty, so, Robert, did you have something for the net, or you had no comments, that's right. So write to Ali, AL0Y, K2BAR.
Right, thanks a lot, Gordon. Alright, so a little bit of news first. I finally decided to get an actual rig into my car and have a mobile installation. So pretty much I'm trying to compile a list of the repeaters. I know about repeaters here in northern New Jersey, but I'm trying to obtain a list of the active repeaters here, Manhattan, probably a little bit to the south from where I'm located, going to Staten Island and Brooklyn. That should cover over 90% of the places that I usually drive to. Using repeater radio sounds like logical. However, most of their information is not up to date. So what do you guys do to obtain an updated list of repeaters? Back to you, AL0Y.
Okay, so you're using RFinder to get your list, or repeater book, or something else?
I used repeater book, and I got a list of over 200 repeaters, at least here in northern New Jersey. Majority of them are not there, or I just hear the repeater, but nobody is there at all to start with. But I would say half of that list is even repeaters that's no longer on the air.
Yeah, and you're interested in 2 meters and 440, I'm assuming. So here's a couple of observations. You're going to have some repeaters that have moved and are just not accessible where you think they are. Some are no longer operational, and some have changed PLs or even modes. So I'll give you an example. 14661, it probably shows Land Rovers, and it probably shows, I can't remember what the PL that they used to use. But I can tell you it's 141.3 and it's on Garrett Mountain, right where the old repeater was. And I can also tell you that probably by next week it'll be running FM and Fusion in automatic selection mode.
That's very good about the repeater, Gordon. So, pretty much I have to ask people that probably like go to Manhattan, Brooklyn, and so on, what repeater they use, and just rely on that into building my list, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can do that. So if you have the opportunity to put them in banks, what you may want to do is have, like, a bank that takes you from home to Brooklyn. Another bank that takes you, let's say, that's useful in, you know, within X miles of your home, you know, home stuff. I have found that it's sometimes useful to program a set of repeaters in a semi-linear form along a route and just go from there. With these radios that are agile, you can actually set them up in their own bank so that you can go dink, dink, dink and not care what band they're on. That's also useful. Other times you might do it such that they're frequency related and they're just in frequency order and you save so many that are in, you know, each to a blank frequency thing. The other thing you may want to do is set up a receive memory for every one of the normal pairs and use it to scan quickly the band and then go to another bank of memories to actually operate, although if you know what the PL is for the ones you're going to encounter in this area, you can put the encode PL on there. I find that to be useful too, in some cases. So you can do it by zone, you can do it by linear track, or you can do it by frequency, and you can even do combinations of those things in different banks of memories.
Gordon, that's a great idea. I actually never thought of that. Sort my repeaters in the memory just by call sign, and I would usually know which one is where, and just which repeater is where, and when I get closer, I just like roll down the list until I find that repeater. But actually, sorting them based on banks, I believe that's a great idea. I actually never considered that, but it is a great idea. Probably I will go with the routes, like linear routes. I can say I have my regular routes that I take, like from here to work or from here to Brooklyn or, you know, like the normal stuff. So that would be actually a great idea. Just a question, would you be able to share your list of repeaters from your radio with me if possible? That would be great. AL0Y, thank you.
I'll be happy to, with the caveat that it's screwed up. But yeah, you're welcome to it, absolutely. So that computer is online as we speak doing a Windows update. Or was doing a Windows update. Hopefully it's done by now. And it has one of the files that might be useful. Forget which. Yeah, probably the one from my THF6. Actually, do you want an ADMS file? Would that be useful?
That can work. CSV file can work even better. Doesn't really matter. I'll convert it anyway. I'll find some help to convert it, but whatever you have definitely is going to be a great held anyway.
Okay, so you would like a comma-separated file. That would be probably the most sensible thing for you. So that's what we will do. Very, very good. Yeah, I can certainly do that, but it's really screwed up. It has no pretense of the organization I alluded to before. It's shamefully lacking, for instance, the new Wayne repeater, both the DMR one and the FM one. That you guys have the OEM ones, and also that new one that's, I think, FM and DMR, if I remember right, both in Wayne. But that's okay. I mean, there's still some good starters in there, and I'd be happy to share it.
That would be great, Gordon, and don't worry about the organization. I can handle that as long as you know that the repeaters in the list are actually still alive. The thing is, I don't want to, like, if there are a couple of them that's not even on the air, that's fine by me. I just don't want to start with 250 repeaters and half of that no longer exist or they change it, their information. So it's not easy to go chase them one by one, I should say. But if you have your list that you know, like, at least 90% of the information on it is accurate, that would definitely help me, regardless of the organization.
Yeah, let me also give you one other bit of advice, that the repeaters in my list may not be relevant to here. They might be other places, though, and they may not be labeled explicitly. But are we going to sort that out? That's not the end of the world. Alrighty, that's actually a good thing, and you actually published that huge list for the Red Cross. If you want, I could actually sort through that list for you and at least make a first pass improvement as to what's real and what's not.
That would also be great, because most of that list is coming from repeater book. I got a lot of corrections for that list from different people, so I believe it's getting more accurate, but still I can't really 100% rely on how accurate that is, so any input in that is also definitely a good help.
I mean, I'll send you what I do, which is horribly disorganized, but I think your list might actually be better. It just requires a little organization. Now, if I remember right, your list was organized by band, right? And then frequency?
Affirmative. It mainly was 2 meter, 220, and 440. Pretty much a radius of 50 miles around Fairfield. That's how I got it from repeater book. And then I went through the repeaters and tried to kind of see what's accurate and what's no longer there.
Okay, so real quick, does like 14697, you know, Mount Beacon show up on that list?
Well, I have to find that out, so give me a couple minutes. I'll try to pull that email and I'll get back to you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, there's no rush, but I'm just curious, you know, 50 miles of Fairfield is sort of like saying 50 miles within Wayne, but I'm just wondering if it reaches quite enough north. But that's a fine list. That's a real fine list. My repeater list has some stuff at the south end of the turnpike and in eastern Pennsylvania randomly tossed in there, and they're not labeled as such, so it's really kind of ugly. But I will get you my 2730 list, which is 2 meters and 440. That's probably the best list I have. It does have some other things that are useful. So, for instance, I have all the simplex frequencies on 2 meters all laid out, all the normal ones. I've done that and a few other things. Anyway, let me just take a break here and see if there's anybody else for the net. And we'll queue up a question, and we'll come back to yours to finish it before we go on to the next topic, if any. Any stations wishing to check in tonight to the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, please call K2BAR. Man, those crickets, they're just active tonight, aren't they? All right. Anything more, or do you want to secure at this point?
I believe that's good. I have one more question. I'm sorry for that, if you don't mind. Regarding the mobile installation, why do we have to run both positive and negative wires to the battery? Why not only the positive and just terminate the negative to the car body?
That's a great question, because the bonding among the body elements can vary widely, and therefore you will not get a reliable return path, and you can end up with a high resistance circuit, which will result in voltage drop. I'm a big fan of using number 4, in case you're wondering.
Number 4 for about 15 amps. Maybe a little bit too much. I don't know, to be honest, but I think it's too much.
Okay, so let's do some calculations here. I'll just set up the problem. You can look it up. So look at the per 100 foot resistance of whatever wire size you want, inclusive of the wire that's going in and out of the radio, okay? And scale it to the voltage drop. Remember that it's the full DC loop, so if you've got, you know, 20 feet or 25 feet of cable between your radio cable and then whatever is going to your battery and then coming to your wherever you decide to store your, you know, that you have two different wire gauges there, but that's a whole other conversation. But more importantly, if you have a 25-foot path, you have a 50-foot loop. So your voltage drop will be, you know, the resistance per 100 will be roughly half of whatever that is. Plus you have some connector loss and things like that. So with that in mind, you then can calculate the voltage drop from, let's say 12 volts. Let's say your battery's running low, say because we use 12, and if you have, let's say a 1-ohm load, a 1-ohm, resistance, you're going to have a substantial voltage drop.
All right. I learn something new every day. Never thought of the resistance of the wire itself, to be honest, but I was only considering the load itself, being that the load is about maybe 100 watts, maybe a little bit more. It's 50 watts RF, and usually that translates to about 100 watts in DC. And they usually would tell you, like, use 8 or 10 for that amount of power, but considering the loss and the connections, you're definitely correct. I just didn't think about it. DL0Y, back to you.
Right, you can look up the voltage drop of stranded or solid wire of any gauge you want. I'm going to also point out that a U.S. wire gauge and a Chinese label need not match, other than in the print.
Well, there's no questions about that. That I know what it means.
Yes, I will also tell you that while some of us would like to use copper, there's a copper-clad wire, which I cynically call Chinesium, which is basically some sort of hot metal, probably not aluminum, that's been copper-clad, and so it's mystery metal with something that looks like copper. I won't even say it's copper clad, I'll say it's copper colored, and you can draw your own conclusions from that if you're not careful. But you will have some drop at every connector, It is absolutely amazing. This is why this ICOM radio that I have, you know, is both a pleasure to operate and a nuisance to operate. Because keeping, it's very, the ICOM radios are just cranky about low voltage. I mean, they hit 11.9 and they all of a sudden, you know, have a stroke and they just act stupid. In this case, this radio resets, so... I do have a N8XJK boost regulator, and I need to find it and put it in this car. The reason why I haven't put it in the car up to now is because it's it was really meant for my HF rig, which I don't have in the car right now. But more importantly, if you powered it up under load, or even if you powered it up, you know, the car. The little startup spike would cause it to fault and to drop out. So basically what you have to be able to do is reset it, and it's no big deal, but it means that I have to really mount it up front here and then run the wire backwards to where the radio is in the back of the car. So that way I can get like 14.5 out of the boost regulator. Plus, you know, less the voltage drop going to the back of its output, you know, the output to the back of the car where the radios are mounted. But anyway, enough of that. K2BAR.
Well, thanks a lot, Gordon, for the information, and thanks for answering my questions. Really appreciate it. DL0Y, back to you.
Yeah, and if you just get to a point where 6 or 8 are what you can find, you're going from the battery into the firewall, and you're going to mount the radio right there in the front, you're not putting it in the rear of your vehicle, then you can get away with 6 or 8. But I've been a big fan of number 4 for a lot of reasons. And some vehicles I have had it, and some I haven't. Guess which one doesn't? Anyway, I got to work on that. Anyway, you take care and God bless. Anybody else have anything for the net? Okay, well, gentlemen, I'm going to say good night. I'm going to get some dinner with my pretty girl bride here, and we're going to, head home and do what we got to do and call it a day. Hope to see some of you at the Fairlawn dinner tomorrow night. That should be fun. And Ali, if we don't speak, bon voyage, okay?
No problem, Gordon, and thank you. I'll catch you during the weekend. I'm not going to be in Fairlawn tomorrow. I'm not going. But definitely I'm going to catch you during the weekend. Enjoy it, and have a great night. Catch you later. AL0Y.
73L0Y, WA2ISC, K2BAR, W2TTT. Securing the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net and wishing you all a happy night. Be safe.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. W2UES, repeater. This is Kent Lopez, repeater. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat.
W2TTT.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2UES repeater. This is Kent Lopez, repeater.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Double.
21C listening.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. NJ2BS repeat.
W2U.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2UHS repeater. This is an open repeater. This is
NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
This is Whiskey 2, Tango, 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 listening.
NJ2BS repeat.
W2UHS repeater. This is Kent Lopez repeater system.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2UES repeater. This is an open repeater system.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2UHF repeater. This is an open repeater system.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2UHF repeater. This is an open repeater system.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.